17. I've heard so many sermons about the story of David and Goliath. And I think the reason why it's preached so well is because it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's got all the elements of a story you'd want to hear. You've got the underdog slinging a stone. You got a heart filled with conviction and love for God and righteousness. You've got a giant that's just, he's the kind of bad guy you love to hate. He's a proper bad guy, isn't he? Nowadays, you watch these shows and these stories that are out there. The bad guy is always complicated. You almost kind of like him. I can't find anything I like about Goliath. Now, nothing good about him, nothing redeeming about him. He's a bad guy through and through. Absolutely love the story of David and Goliath. Let's go ahead and dive in here. We're in chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 12. Now, David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. David was not a well-known warrior. In our country today, if there are problems and we need a particular soldier, we get somebody who we know their pedigree, we know their training, we know everything about them. David, while he is listed as a mighty man of valor in Scripture, while he has been told of as somebody of good stature and somebody who could go to war, he was still in his youth. You ever see a picture of maybe somebody you love and somebody you didn't meet till they're later on in their life? You see a picture of them young and in the military, and they look about half their size as they are when they get back out of it. Those muscles grow in and their shoulders broaden out. And that's where I kind of see David. David probably at this time looked mighty. He looked strong, but he wasn't quite at the man-sized strength that you'd expect out of a goodly soldier. If you think of a well-seasoned soldier, you're thinking of a Captain America type. You're thinking of a broad-shouldered, tall, muscular-bound person. Well, David, he was more of the teenage size of his youth, probably 18, 19, 20 years old, still a little scrawny, but enough to fight, right? Somebody that could still be called mighty, but enough for Saul to look at and say, I don't think you quite got everything you need. I don't think you're quite there yet. And as we continue on, we're going to go ahead and jump in at verse 23. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Now David, the only thing he had in his heart was a love for God. And I want you to pay very close attention to that. We talked about it last week. There was a bunch of people with the wrong motives, right? And whatever it was that Saul was offering was not enough to get them to put their lives on the line. And that's the difference between a child of God and someone playing church, right? I'll come in, I'll sit in the pew. Don't you dare ask me for anything else. Don't you dare have any expectations of me. I will not open my Bible. I will not pray on my own. I am here on Sunday and Wednesday, and that ought to be enough for you. You ought to be satisfied. And I'll tell you this, God is not satisfied with us playing church. And the difference is this, when there is a need, when there is a call to arms, a child of God will answer the call. There was a bunch of people staring down at this giant doing nothing. But David, in all of his boldness and all of his love for God, stood up. Verse 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I want you to pay close attention to how David speaks about the giant. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Almost like this Goliath of Gath was nothing compared to who? He talked about Goliath as though he was nothing. But look at what he said. He talked about his God as the living God. Who is he compared to the God we serve? And I'll tell you what, it bothers me when you see Christians almost waving the white flag today, to their own sin, to their own problems, to society around them. Oh, whatever am I going to be able to do? It's too late. What are your problems compared to the living God? What is your sin? What is society? What are your problems compared to the God who made all things? They're nothing. They're but flies. This is a bad illustration, but I'll walk through here, and during the winter, every now and then there's a fly that gets caught in the window. Those winter flies, those are easy to catch, aren't they? Whoosh. Throw it away. Whoosh. Throw it away. Wash your hands. I do wash my hands, by the way. Wash my hands. Right? They're nothing. To our God, they're like winter flies, just so easily catchable, so easily crushable, so easy to get rid of. David knew who his God was. And they go in, of course we see in verse 28, the rebuke of Eliab, who no doubt was sitting there in his own fear, in his own uncertainty. And you gotta remember, these older brothers, when Samuel walked by them, goes, hey, here's a good looking fella, he'd make a good king. No? Alright, how about this guy? He'd make a good king. No? How about this? No? All three of them failed God's test. But they were men who could have taken that giant. They could have gone down there and fought him. Could have, but they didn't. I will sit there and I'll say, hey, listen, it was the Lord's will that it be David. But I absolutely hate it when I am left out of God's service because my heart and my mind ain't right. You know what I'm talking about? When I leave some glory on the table. When I leave something that I could have taken and gotten the victory over to give back over to God, I hate when I miss out on that. I hate when my own disobedience gets in the way of me being a part of the greater work that God is doing. So Eliab, he comes in, he makes this remark and just kind of puts David down. Hey, you're just here for some gossip. You're just here to see the battle. David says, no, verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. See, David, what he says to them in verse 29, we'll dial it back a little bit. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Well, what's going to happen to the guy who takes this giant out? Is there not a cause? Going from person to person and every one of them. Well, you know, Saul, he'll give you his daughter. He'll take you off the tax roll. He'll make you rich. But is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Because I tell you what, money dries up. Money goes away, don't it? A lot of people right now, we're looking at the dollar. It is getting less and less valuable, seems like every day. Is our hope in money? Right? Well, I tell you what, there's coming a time where they're threatening to remove the tax exempt status away from churches. What is that to me? Whether they put us on the tax roll or they take us off the tax roll, that's not the point. I've got a cause I'm serving. I have a cause I'm serving. Go ahead and make your threats. Go ahead and sign your bills. Sign your papers. Go ahead. But there is a cause that goes much higher than the cause they're serving. See, to them, there'll be many when it comes down to it where greater persecution starts to come on people that preach the way we do. And they'll start passing legislation and people will be cheering in the streets. Oh, they can't say that anymore. There's a time coming. When that happens, you think we're losing people now. Wait till then. You're going to see the difference between the sheep and the goats real quick. You'll see the difference because they'll hear another voice. Self-preservation. Don't pay no fine. Hey, you want to be a part of this society? You don't want to get canceled? You better come on. And they'll go follow that voice. But for those of us that know there is a cause, we'll be right here. Will be right here, unmovable, unshakable. At least I pray that that is who we are. And as we continue on those words, is there not a cause? They finally go back to Saul. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And I love it how it's always this Philistine. This Philistine. Now, that was an insult for a very long time when you referred to somebody as a Philistine, because as a society, the stereotype for Philistines wasn't all that good. You know what I mean? Americans are loud, Philistines are dumb and brutish, but they can fight real good. Right? That was theirs. Right? So this Philistine, I'll go fight with him. Not the giants, not the great warrior from Gath, not this guy with his weapon. He didn't describe his weapons. I'll go fight this Philistine. I'll go get a piece of him. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That ain't just bold. You either have true faith in the Lord, or you are crazy. But David goes, listen, if this youth can fight a bear and fight a lion, this Goliath, he's one more trophy to put on the wall. To him, it was nothing. You know what the difference is? We do this, don't we? I do this from time to time. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm able to pull that off. Oh, I doubt this and I doubt that. Oh, no. I'm not smart. I'm not good. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have the experience. Oh, we wind up our hands, don't we? You know the difference is between David and us when we're like that? David had his eyes fully on God. We start thinking that we're some kind of a challenge to God, that our lack of size, knowledge, self-discipline, whatever, we begin to think that those are actual challenges to God. Oh, God can't use me. He absolutely can. You're not being humble. You're putting God in a box when you talk like that. God absolutely can. You know how many times I've sat there and done that to myself? I still do it today. I'll sit there, I'll tell Danielle this, we'll be doing something, we'll be preparing for something, and all I think of in my head is all the men and women that would be far better at that than I am, right? I'll tell her this, I'm not the guy who should be doing it, I'm just the guy who is doing it. And I sat there and I thought about that long and hard as I was preparing for this series, this passage of the series, right? And I sat there and I said, who am I to tell God who he can or cannot use? You know, this is a nice piano, right? We had some people come, they were looking at it, and they go, oh, this is very nice. Danielle learned how to record songs onto it, help us out for choir, does a lot of things, pretty much everything, but make you a sandwich. To me, it's absolutely nothing. It's not. You put me behind that thing, it is a disaster. Why? Because these hands were not taught. This brain is not skilled. There's no talent for music in this body. But you take someone who knows what they're doing and you put them behind it, it'll sing. Now me, you take me, imagine you've got a rundown old nasty, anybody here got a rundown old nasty piano at your house, maybe in your basement? The only reason why you still got it is because it's heavy. Now imagine that one. You take me down there, I could play just as well on that as I could this. Right? You take someone who knows what they're doing, they can make even that sound beautiful. That's our God. You think he just looks for the Davids? David wasn't nothing. He really wasn't. He was just a youth. He was just starting off. Though he was a strong man, though he was a good man, there was no way that man should have been able to fight a giant and win with not but a slingshot. That should not have happened. God did that. There are battles that we face and we get caught up in looking at our own size and our own strength, and we look at the size of the waves and the size of the giant and we decide, I can't beat this sin. I can't serve that way. I can't do this. You need to forget that you are a tool, a vessel in the master's hand. And there's a reason we call him the master. Because he can do anything with anybody. He can help anybody. He can do anything in any situation. It does not matter what he gave you. And by the way, never forget that it was God that gave you what you have. God gave you the talents you have. He made you, formed you, created you, knowing exactly how he would use you. Exactly. We took a pottery class in high school, mostly for those credits. I got all the hard stuff done by my junior year so that by my senior year I could focus on some of the pre-college credits and whatever. But I got to the final semester, the final little part where you get to choose stuff, and all that was left for me to play with was advanced math and the goof around classes. So I took me one of those pottery classes. We made cups. What do you make a cup for? Drinking out of, right? So you make it with a little handle, you make it so it doesn't leak out, right? You make it for drinking. We had another one. We made flower vases, right? Vases, vases. Mine was a mess. You wouldn't want to call it anything. You build it tall, you build it to hold those flowers, you put that in there, right? All sorts of stuff we made for a specific purpose. You know, God made you for a specific purpose. We need to stop acting like he left something important out of us. That's what you were made for. Now, if I sit here and watch some of you who know how to do music, or, you know, if we came out of Flat Rock, seemed like everybody knew music. Like they put you in the water for baptism, brought you out, handed you an instrument. It was just sick. And we must have been fresh out of singing ability when I was baptized. Something wrong with the water I got. I could sit here all day going, man, you know, I think of my buddy Tim Cavanaugh. Man, I wish I could read music like he does. Man, I wish I could. I want to be a part of a quartet. No quartet wants me to be a part of it, but man, wouldn't that be nice? I could make myself blue all day, just crying over what I can't do. Or I could find out what I can do and put it to work, right? David didn't need to be experienced. All the experience he needed was in God's hands. David brings up this point. I have fought a lion and a bear, but God gave me the victory. Is that not what he said? Did he sit there and say, hey, these arms? No, he did not. Let's read that again. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Who's he bringing it back to? God. Who helped him kill the lion and the bear? God. Because young men tending sheep with slingshots and sticks should not be able to kill lions and bears. Now, I haven't looked into too much of it, but I have read National Geographic. Those lions, very hard to kill. Not kittens, right? Very hard to kill. So what is it? The Lord. Now, listen, we can sit here and think all day, well, is he bragging? No. It's time to put this guy down. It's time to talk about credentials. Let's talk about what God has done in my life before that'll give us the victory today. This ain't about David. This is about how God gives the victory. What David was able to say is, I have seen God give victory before. I was there. I got the blood on my hands. And you know what I got to bring home? That lamb. Could you imagine walking home with that lamb after that? That must be really cool, huh? You think about that? Just, hey, not today. Bring him back there. Somebody comes out, his dad comes out checking up on him. What's with that one? Why has that one got some blood stains on him? You won't believe this. Come over here. Let me show you lion carcass. Let me show you where I put the lion and the bear. Look at this, dad. That must have been really neat. God gives us the victory over things. And if you think about it, there have been moments in your life where you have fought battles, where problems have arisen, where you have had sin in your life, and God gave you the victory. You got to remember those times. It was God what brought you through that. It's God who's going to bring you through it again. Somebody said to me recently, hey, listen, I know you had to worry about this a lot. Talking about things we were doing, and I'm, actually, no, I didn't have to worry. Because for some reason, right around the time I get to where one would worry, God throws something in there. Well, how are you doing? Are you holding up everything? I've got the Lord. I'm doing good. When it gets hard, I put my knees on the ground and I have a conversation with him. When I can't find the answer, I have a conversation with him. Now that doesn't mean that you don't go through, that doesn't mean that your body don't react to it. We've all been there where your body reacts to stuff. But you know who your hope is in at the end of the day? The Lord. And I know that even though the boat's rocking and I'm bouncing off of the rails of this thing and I'm getting awful wet, I know he's the master of this boat. And no matter what he chooses to do is exactly what he will do, and I will be a part of everything he wants me to be a part of. I'm there for the work, there for the effort. Why? Because I don't want to just experience God's power. I want to be a conduit. I want to be a part of it. I want to have my hands busy, right? You want to be the person still working when the boss walks through the room. And as the Lord gave him that victory, it preserved David from serious trouble. I mean, he's responsible for those lambs. That lamb belonged to him. And what David was able to do in that moment was give the battle over to the Lord, because after all, it belongs to him anyway. Everything that happens here on earth, it belongs to God. It is within his will and within his time. This battle is the Lord's. And as David could talk, he says, there's no question in my mind as to what's going to happen here. And as he sits there, he talks about this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, this is verse 37, and Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. I used to do this thing when I would preach on this. I'd call one of my, whoever was smallest. So could you imagine me bringing Gideon up here and throwing my suit coat on him and putting one of my bigger Bibles in his hands, right? Giving him the keys to my car. Talk about not fitting into it, right? There's always comic. I didn't do it tonight. Sorry, buddy. I want to embarrass you. Don't fit. Saul says, come here. Here, have my armor. And Saul thinks he's doing something good. Saul always thinks he's doing something good. Put this helmet on. Put these on there. And there's David just clunking around. I can't do this. This is not how I do this. Right? I can't fight like this. This is going to be more of a hindrance than anything else. And I think that goes to show us that we need to be real careful about the extra things we put into a situation. I've known a lot of people who have sought advice outside of Scripture, sought advice for their problems outside of godliness. Now, I'm not talking about, hey, where can I go to get my car fixed? Where can I go to get this dug out around my house? No, I'm not talking about that kind of advice. Hey, we're making this. What do I put in there? Not talking about that. We're talking about problem advice. We're talking about fighting sin advice, right? We're talking theological stuff here. Many people, they go outside of the Bible to find advice for their problem. You see that all over the place on the internet. You see that in books and self-help things where people doing the best they can to be helpful give horribly awful advice. Well, how do you know it's awful? It don't go with this book. And I'll tell you this, I may not have lived forever yet, but when I have done what the book says in my relationships and in my problems, things have gotten better. And when I have reacted selfishly, when I have not behaved myself in a way that would bring honor and glory to God, it makes it worse. Makes it worse. So listen, if I'm going to do anything, if I'm going to go to battle with my problem, what I need to do is I need to battle it God's way. Right? What's the problem here? Was the problem that David didn't have a set of armor? No, David had the best armor on earth. He had God's hand on him. Some of us, we don't know what our problems are because we're listening to the wrong people about our problems. Right? Oh no, it's not sin. It's this. We call sin names now. We give it, we call it disease. We call it this. We call it that. Guess what? Sin is a disease, but it's a disease you get a choice in. And that's absolutely true. I don't care what modern day says. Oh, you don't understand. Addiction is a disease. They don't have a choice. You absolutely have a choice. Absolutely. I've talked to people hooked on some bad stuff. And they're able to sit there and tell others how to get off of the stuff. So you know what that tells me? You got a choice. Is it easy? I wouldn't know. It doesn't look like it. Sounds scary to me. Right? Almost would be enough to just to know how hard it is to get off the stuff and what it does to you physically to try to get off the stuff. Should be enough to get most of us to say, I don't want to touch it. It should be enough for the world, but it's not. I mean, even out in nature, you see one or two of an animal eat something and then die. Most of the other animals go, yeah, we're not touching that. Not going near that. But we'll sit there and government will fund that stuff going out and getting to people. We'll sit there, we'll sell the needles so people can shove that, or give the needles away so they can shove that junk into their veins. You have a choice. It's not an easy choice. There will be some strong things. Let's get you some help for this choice. I'm not trying to belittle the difficulty of addiction, but you have a choice. We all have a choice. Right? It's not just in drugs and alcohol. We just talked about, you know, moderation, didn't we? You have a choice. Just because it's me don't mean I'm not going to call it the way it is. We have a choice. And what comes out of your mouth and the things that you do and the things that you are complicit in, you have a choice. And you need to find yourself strong enough to make it. Your problem is your sin. It's sin. Given the choice between two options, you pick the wrong one. It's what it is. And I tell you what, we got counseling and we got programs and we got all sorts of stuff to help people. But if you're doing anything other than calling your sin, sin, you'll never get better. You'll never get better. I had somebody, they stood up, they gave their testimony about their addiction. And they said, I'm going to have cravings the rest of my life. But God gave me the victory over this. And I pray every time I see it coming back in, God continues to give me the victory. That sin's laid aside. The problems in your relationship, the problems of your service to the Lord where you're not serving Him the way you ought to, those are choices. You got to know what your problem is. Your problem is a willpower problem. It is a choice problem. He had to have clarity. See, he had all the conviction in the world. Many of us, that's what we've got. We're like David. We got all the conviction in the world. There's no shortage of conviction. The problem is in clarity. He's sitting there looking in that army. He goes, I haven't practiced this. This is not going to be good. Listen, only God's answers will fit God's people. Only God's directions will fit God's people. And again, I know there's so many voices out there. Oh, that's so narrow-minded. I tell you what, go out. You know, let's say there's a problem with your car. The windshield wipers don't work right. So you go out, you go buy yourself a new pair of windshield wipers. Is there a particular windshield wiper goes to that car? You narrow-minded bigot. No, brother, that's the way it's made. That's right. When God made you, He knew you'd be born again. You ain't got nothing in your life He ain't got the solution to. You got to be real careful with what else you're trying to apply to the situation. You need some clarity. If there's a problem with what was made, you got to take it back to the manufacturer. And I got to go back to the Father to say, hey, what do I got to do to fix this? He couldn't be somebody He wasn't. So often we get this idea of other people. Look how well they fit into their armor. Look how good they look. Look how much they've got it together. Why do they got this and I don't? Right? Blah, blah, blah. You know? I mean, the solution here wasn't for David to become more like Saul. The solution was for David to listen to the Lord and go out there and do battle with his giant, with his battle. Lord said, David, this man's out here. And you can see him, right? fighting and arguing, sitting there saying all sorts of bad things about God. That sounds like something one of God's children ought to go take care of, am I right? We ought to go take care of the things like that. When you hear somebody sitting there and they're using the Lord's name in vain, that's you. When somebody is sitting there and religion is being talked about and you're being silent and you possess the truth, you ought to say something. I'll tell you what, I'll end a religious conversation real quick. There was somebody that was sitting there at a break one time. They're having a religious argument. Well, I'm Catholic and I believe this, and I'm whatever the other guy was, and we believe that. And I open up the Word of God and I said, well, this is what the Bible says. That's three opinions right there. Crickets. Everybody wants to talk about their opinion, but it's hard to get people to talk about God's opinion. If I'm going to trust anybody's opinion on who God is, trust in that. I hear some ridiculous arguments. Well, the Bible never says. Yes, it does. It says it right there. Well, doesn't the Bible say? Nowhere. Nowhere in there. Right, like that old Shakespearean quote, to thine own self be true, Macbeth. Really bad advice. Works out really bad for the people involved, right? To thine own self be true. Doesn't it say to thine own self be true in the Bible? Absolutely not. The Bible says some very particular things about my heart. And then I got to be real careful, right? We spend the entirety of childhood trying to teach children not to rely on their impulses. But once they become adults, they are mindful choices we're supposed to celebrate. Don't make no sense to me, but here we are. You get over the age of 18 and all of a sudden your vain, your weird philosophy on life is supposed to be celebrated. Don't make no sense. I want to hear what God has to say, particularly when it comes down to Him. So David could sit there. He couldn't wield Saul's sword. He couldn't wear his armor. There's a lot of things David couldn't do in that situation. But David, you know what he did? He took a look at what he could do. And you know what he could do real well? He could sling a stone real good. He took what God gave him. Took what God gave him and did something with it. Many of us, we discount the talent that God gave us. What would a sling and a stone do against this 9-foot monster of a man? What could it really do? David went in knowing whatever God wanted it to do. Whatever God wanted that stone to do, that's what was going to happen. David didn't worry about it. He didn't think about it. Hey, this is the talent God gave me. This is the problem at hand. Let's put them together. Let's put them together. You know, when I first went door knocking, I went door knocking with a man by the name of Al Neese. And he goes, are you comfortable talking? I go, oh, no. He goes, can you write? I go, oh. He goes, all right. If they ask for us to come back and visit them again, write down their name and their number. He goes, you comfortable praying? You pray quietly while I talk. All right? Those are my two jobs. Pray. Write down information if people want to revisit. I also held on to like the church address, tracts. I held on. I could do all those things. That's what I could do, man. So guess what? Church is out door knocking. Here's what I could do. You put them together. Now, did I stay that way? No, eventually I learned how to do that. Right? Once he had me on his team, he kept asking me to come with him. Now, come on. Okay, I always wanted to go with somebody else who'd maybe not make me go all the way up the door with him, you know? No, come on. He started to get me to talk. How dare he? You know? Started talking over with on the car ride there. It was me and another guy and him sitting there. We're going in. They're coaching me. This is how we do this. This is how we do that. We'd walk between the houses. He'd explain this stuff to me, right? Take what you have, put it into the situation. Whatever the problem is. What about your sin? Well, you know, I could probably go 3 or 4 hours without doing that. Good. I could probably go 2 days without it. Good. Go 2 days. And at the end of that 2 days, guess what you could do? Well, you already know you could do 2 days. So do 2 more days. You push, right? All right, well, I tell you what, it's been 4 or 5 months. All right, well, now we know you got 4 or 5 months in you. Throw another 4 or 5 months in there. Cap it off with another 2. Happy New Year, right? What can I do? With the Lord's blessing and His strength, I'm looking at 2 days. But with the Lord's ability in me, with the Lord's strength and wisdom in me, well, the Lord could take that 2 days and make it something big. We just need to rely on Him and be willing to take what we have and put it into place. What can I do to point others towards Christ? What can I do to put a stop to this sin? What can I do to fulfill the roles that God has put me in? And then we need to rely on the Lord for the rest. I could sling a stone. I could do this, I can do that. We think of the things that we're pretty good at. How do I use that to serve the Lord? How do I do that to be a blessing to my church? How do I use that? And I'll tell you this, God will use it. God will use it. You know what? There was a guy at our church, Carl Lentz. I tell you what, he was kind of a goofy guy. So he got to be in charge of the teenagers. Appreciate that man. He wasn't just a goofball. He was one of the best Bible teachers I've ever known. Right? Real beneficial to me in my developing life as I got older and graduated out of high school. He was a very big blessing as I got married. He was a very big blessing. Tremendous Bible teacher. He didn't start off that way. He started off just being a little silly. And from there, the Lord honed him and used him. Use what you got. Trust the Lord to be able to do the rest. Many of us, we're going to see that we've been serving the Lord in grand ways, even though what we thought we were doing was so very small. It may just look like you're slinging a stone, but imagine what God can do with that stone. So we see that he had conviction. We see that he had clarity. But he also had control. He also had control. Verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew. Sorry, I'm gonna dial it back a little bit. Verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That's pretty bold when you're staring down somebody 9 foot. You know what I'm saying? 9 foot plus. That's boldness. That's the only kind of boldness you can have when you've got the Lord. I tell you what, there's a lot of shaking that goes on from there to here. But when the Lord's with you, it doesn't matter so much. Oh, I'm sure you still see my nervousness. I'm sure some of my ticks and things still come out. But I tell you what, there is a difference when you're standing with the Lord. He'll give you boldness. So you got to have control over this a little bit. You know, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do, but the emotion, the fear, the lack of experience, they get to you. If you put the focus on the Lord, there's nothing you can't do. Nothing. See, David, he had control over himself. He prepared for the battle. You see what he did there? He went down. He got 5 smooth stones. Now, Brother Dwayne, we've talked about this. That, what was it, the 21-foot rule? What's that called? Is it 21-foot? When you're near a shootout kind of a thing. 21 feet. What? Now, how quick would a giant take to clear something like that? That's a big old stride, isn't it? How many shots could you get off in a slingshot by the time that giant got to you? Is it five? Probably not. You get the one out. As a matter of fact, the way that it talks about it, and we'll read a little bit, David ran. And I think by the reading of that, David was running while he was slinging. He had full control over himself. He prepared for this battle. I'm going to get me five. And we'll talk about why I think he got five here in a little bit. But he got five. I'm going to fill up this bag. And I got my sling. And we're going to go into this thing running. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe that's why change doesn't happen in our lives. We don't approach it running. We approach it timidly. We approach it nervously. If the Lord is the focus of it, if this thing God told you to do in your life, right? If this thing that God wanted you to do is something you really believed He wanted you to do, put some effort into it. Put some confidence into it. He prepared for the battle. And of course, the giant, he's getting all upset. Look at this pretty little boy they sent out here. He's got a stick. What am I, a dog? You're going to sit there, you're going to beat me with your stick, little boy? That's not how this is going to work. He seemed insulted. 40 days, he sat out there, wandering that valley, just looking up at him. Hey, come on down. And after 40 long days, here comes this little boy with a stick and a sling. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? He was insulted, but David was well prepared. Doesn't matter how David looked. He was well prepared. He prepared for the battle. He showed up for the battle. And as we read here, he went into the battle. He engaged in the battle. Verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now what they don't often talk about in the Sunday school version of this story is that it wasn't just Goliath running, was it? That army was running behind him. Did that stop David? It didn't stop him! David saw the army, goes, all right, well, I better make this quick because we had a deal. And they need to see that I'm going to fulfill this deal. I'm about to close this deal. Slings that stone. Goliath falls, takes a sword. And could you imagine if Saul's sword was too big for him, how cumbersome this giant, so he runs over to the body, pulls that sword out, takes Goliath's head off. We'll see later that as they chase the Philistines, as they're chasing the Philistines, David took Goliath's head with him. Because when they came back, David still had Goliath's head. To the point to where when he was walking by Goliath's tent, put it right back in the tent. We got to stop acting like God can't give us the victory over big things. Some of us, I do wonder if we're not facing and fighting small things as though they were big things. Because I tell you what, when people around you can see how the Lord is willing to bless you, when people around you can see God working in your life, that's going to have an effect on them. That's going to change the way they see things. Well, wait a minute, I was always told that that ain't right. I was always told that that don't happen. I was always told that you needed to do this, 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 and that, in a very worldly, self-worshipping thing. You're not supposed to be happy that way. But I am. No, no, you're supposed to be like this, and you're supposed to be racked with anxiety. Don't you understand how bad this is and that is? Hey, that really ought to bum you out. It don't. Oh, did you see where they tried to assassinate Putin? The man's a crazy person. What's he going to do? No. What's the worst he could do to me? I mean, I didn't do it, but what's the worst he could do to me? It'd kill you. Oh, well. I'm tired of hearing about him anyway. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we'll be using his name up there, will you? I'll be done with it. Fox News, CNN, what? We won't need any of that up in heaven. Won't need any of that. Wonder what the weather is? Same was yesterday. Wonder what's happening today? Same thing was happening yesterday. Right? Different people participate in different things. We're going to be moving around a little bit, but it's going to be the same stuff. No hazards, no problems, no oil shortages, no nothing. Go ahead. Well, you should be worried. Are you delusional? No. No, I think I got a clear mind here. Right? Well, you shouldn't feel that way. You should be. No, I don't have to be. God gave me clarity. God gave me control. God gives me the victory in things. I can trust him in situations. I can follow his advice and know for a fact that it'll come out okay. Clarify that again as I always do, and maybe not the way I want it to, but it will. He had control over the fallout. He killed the giant. You know, many of us, we fight giants, we fight problems in our lives, but we don't fight the battle to the end. Remember, either your sin has to die or your spirit suffers. We gotta fight all the way. We gotta completely knock out the problem. Work the problem until it's completely done. Serve the Lord all the way or pull that sin out of your life. Whatever the issue is, we need to slay the giant. I mean, you could not, there's no second guessing. Right? Once David lifted that big old shaggy head up, there was no question among anybody over whether or not Goliath was going to be okay. You know what I mean? All right, maybe he's just playing. Maybe he's playing possum, so the boy gets close to him and, ah! Nope. Melody did that to me today. Danielle was off at her chiropractor. She dropped her up off at the office. Melody sat there. She bonked her head. And she goes, up! Oh! And then begins to weep and wail. She went from everything's fine to, ah! I picked her up. I held her. It's okay. It's okay. Touching her head, making sure she didn't do any damage. Doing all the stuff you do as a parent, you know. It's okay. It's okay. Ah! It's okay. It's okay. And then she goes, ha! She pulls her head back, smiling at me. I go, what? Maybe that's what they were waiting on Goliath to do. Ha! Got you, David. Nope. That head came off. There's no question anymore. When you've got problems, when you walk away from them, make sure there's no question that that thing's dead. Make sure there's nothing left for it to come back. Hey, you know what? Did you know that Goliath, 2 Samuel, I got to look that up. We'll get there here soon. 2 Samuel, did you know that Goliath had brothers? Four. And a parent that was just referred to as the giant. Now, it translates as the giant, but I'm guessing that in Hebrew, that's his nickname, the giant. So there's dad or mom, doesn't tell us which one, but then there's five siblings, five stones. I don't know about you, but when I have problems I'm fighting, is it ever just one? Sometimes you got a couple. And sometimes those problems, like Goliath, we're related. I'm not here just for the one problem. I'm going to clear them all out. I'm going to take care of all of it. I'll do that on a Monday. On a Monday, I try to find some place where I can go and put my schedule together. You know what I hate? I hate when I'm taking something from this week, plopping it over to this week. Many of you, over the last few days, you've seen me just carry that tablet around. You want to know why? I'm forming a parade. To get the tablets we bought to work took me weeks. Taking it from this week over here. This week over to here. This week over to here. I finally got to click that button that says done. Bing! I love it when all the problems are gone, right? All right, so come Monday, Lord willing, there won't be anything left to go from here to there. Many of us in our spiritual lives, we're taking problems from here, moving it over there. Problem over here, and we're just carrying on with it, right? Okay, well, this This time at the conference when they're preaching on my sin, this year I take care of it, man. This is the year I come out changed. Except for these four things that'll move on to next year. And for as long as you're living, you're just shuffling sin, shuffling disobedience, shuffling a lack of service over and over and over. I don't want just one giant gone. Let's kill them all. Let's get them all gone. So that way, when we walk back, we can say, hey, there is a cause. And right now, it's mission accomplished. We're not done. We're always on guard. Those Philistines, they're sneaky. They'll come back. Right? But you know what? I'm ready to fight all of them, just in case. And that takes an openness with the Lord. That takes a devotion to the Lord. That takes conviction. But it also takes control over this. David said, the battle is the Lord's. But he put his own body into it, trusting that the battle belonged to God. Well, God will take care of it. Well, guess who are the hands of God? It's us. Well, Lord will, I hear people, well, the elect are out there, the elect are out there, the Lord will get them in here when he wants to get them in. Why did he say that they're supposed to come? Did he say, buy a big enough sign and they'll come? Is this Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come? No. It says, go. Highways, hedges, all nations, go. And do what? Give them the gospel. Yeah, Lord's got his will. But that's why we're here, to be servants to that will. He'll give the victory, but there's still conflict we got to be a part of. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful that you would use us. Grateful, Father, that you'd be patient with us. Help us to grow. Help us to be better at serving you. The Lord, you would deliver us from our sin and our selfishness. Lord, we're grateful for all those things. But I pray, Father, that when the battle heats up, you'll find us right there out on the field. That, Lord, when the harvest is plenteous with the elect out there, that we would be found out in the field. That, Lord, we would be found singing your praises and, Lord, praising your name in the public. Lord, you dole out your blessings towards us. Lord, help us to, in turn, bless you. We love you, Lord, and we seek our behavior to prove that to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.